I just want to thank you all for letting me come up here and talk today. It really is a privilege to talk about what God has done in my life. And I hope that you all will be inspired to do the same, because each one of you could take whatever your story is and stand up here with the same lessons that I have learned. I'd like to start with praying, if you all pray with me. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for bringing this group of women together. I thank you for bringing me here today. I praise you for what you have done and for who you are. And I just ask that you'll push me out of the way today and speak through me and help us all to hear what we need to hear today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In trying to prepare for this, and can you turn that clock just slightly? That way I won't overtalk y'all. I'm not from Texas, but I say y'all, and I just listened to Beth Moore on the way here, so I felt like I needed to fluff my hair and things. When I was preparing for the talk today, I was starting to look through here and realize, ooh, I got to do the whole overview. And I started kind of panicking. And then God reminded me that it took us, 16 weeks? And I can't do that in a half an hour. So it won't be a whole overview in that way. But there is a reason that Stormy put everything she put in that book. And it's a long book. And I'm afraid some of us may have read the last few chapters the last couple weeks and forgotten what you were learning 16 weeks ago. And as a whole, everything in that book is important. Why we praise God is important. So I'm going to tell you a little of the story of my life and how praising God has walked me through what I've walked through and continues to walk me through. Trying to decide where to start. I don't want to start too young. I was raised in a Christian household, but I had a best friend when I was 9. Who brought me truly to a relationship with Christ. My mom had a relationship with Christ, but you know, when you're growing up in that atmosphere, sometimes you miss it. And I just want to remind you, when we're all talking about little children, to remember that they do bring people to Christ, and that the little children are just as important as us. We can do it now, they can do it. And I'm really proud of my children, because they share Christ with their friends as well. But I learned at 9 that He was my friend and that he would be with me. And I just have to tell you one of my first faith stories, because it's just goofy. And it was when I used to lose things a lot. I still do. I'm a little flighty, I'll admit it. But I'd get in trouble a lot because I'd lose things and it drove my parents crazy. And one day I was walking home from school and I realized I had lost the key to my house. And it wasn't just any key, it still had the address on it. Okay? I knew I was going to be in big trouble. And I frantically looked all over in the long, tall grass, and it was out in the field. And I couldn't find it, and I thought, I'll pray. So I closed my eyes, and I prayed, please, God, help me find my key. And I opened my eyes, and there it was. Now, that wasn't enough for me to build my faith. I went, wow, that's so cool. Picked it up and threw it as far as I could. Okay, I'm like that. That's testing God a bit, but when you're 9, he lets you do that. And sometimes he lets us do that now, too. I did it all the way home. Threw my key, prayed, picked it up, threw it again. And God came through every time. And I believe he did that so that he could teach me that he was listening, that he was there, that he was personal. We began in our book praising God, our Creator. And that's how I began before I had met my friend when I was 9. I praised him for the moon and the stars and the mountains. Every morning here, when I'm feeling tense, it doesn't matter what's going on. The minute I turn out of my neighborhood and see the mountains, I just have to stop every thought and just praise God for his beautiful creation. So he was up there, though. I was praising him for all those wonderful things he had made. And then he came down to me, and he cared about me, and he was intimately involved with me, just as he is with each one of you and in each of your lives. Now, being typical and normal, I lived my life being centered around me for quite a lot of time. And when I got to college, even, I got tired of God telling me what to do. It wasn't what I wanted. And so I told him so. And I'm a little bit dramatic, so I assure you, I stood out on the lawn in college and told him very loudly that I was done. And he let me have my little tantrum for about a year. But even then, God was with me. He protected me. He kept me from being more foolish than I already was. and kept bad things from happening that I could have let, you know, I could have walked into. He was protecting me even then. So if any of you are feeling the anxiety of children off at college, because that's a time when you have to kind of figure God out for yourself. It's a time of transition, and maybe some of you are praying for your children there, or your grandchildren or nieces and nephews. Just know God is there. He is watching over them, and He is protecting them. So anyway, God brought me back. I'm not going to tell that whole story. He brought me back and made me say, yes, you're in charge. Just like we as parents have to do. You know, I'm in charge. I know what's best for you. And I really did learn that lesson. He knew what was best for me, and I didn't. Because my way was not fulfilling me, and it really wasn't making me happy. Then I met my husband. His name is Bill. I went to my brother's graduation at West Point, and I'd been praying for a husband. I was ready to get married. I was at that age where we can't wait to meet the right one. And I had been praying for a long time for a husband. And I went to my brother's graduation at West Point. My brother introduced me to my future husband. He didn't know it at the time. He hadn't planned that. Was a little surprised when he found out. But, and what's interesting about that, too, was Bill was my blind date, but he was also my sister's blind date. So my brother just wanted to get rid of his sisters. My parents insisted we go to the dance. And Bill was gracious enough to take two. So, but I won. Yay. Oh, no. No. And it was a wonderful thing. And 4 months later, and only seeing each other five times in person, we were engaged. But I knew, and he knew, that that was God's plan for us. I do not remember what was said, but I remember being on the phone with him, and I remember God speaking directly through his mouth to me, and I remember the moment I knew that this was the man God had chosen for me. Now, he was military, so this was going to be a whole new life for me, and he made sure I understood that. We'd be moving around a lot. He'd be put in dangerous places. We'd have a lot of hard times. But it also sounded very exciting. I'd learn a lot of new things, see a lot of new places, make a lot of new friends. So we traveled along. And one of our stories is we started out at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, and we had our first baby there. And what I tell people is, one, every move we made, and maybe some of you have been military, I know I've talked to several of you that are, God teaches you things every place you go. And that was one of the exciting things, was I was growing every time we moved. So I had a baby at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. They were packing up my house while I was in the hospital. And so we came back to a hotel, and a couple weeks later drove across the country, and a couple more weeks later flew to Germany with my five-week-old baby. And then my husband, being military, got to go to Bosnia 2 weeks later. So he had to leave me and his seven-week-old baby to head out to Bosnia. I had no furniture, no car. I had an apartment. No friends. So it was a hard time for me, but it was a really good time for me because it was that time that I learned how close I could draw to God, how much I needed God to be the leader of my household, to teach me how to raise my one child at that time, and to really grow in faith and closeness with Him. And the cool thing is Bill was doing the same thing there. Yes, he was missing his family, but we learned early on. Because that first 4 years of our marriage, before we had the children and moved, we were pretty centered on each other. Which is okay, we were married. But that's not really God's plan, even in marriage. He wants you to like each other, compliment one another, but He really wants you to pay attention to Him. So we learned that separately. We grew in Christ separately. Even though we had loved Him before, we became stronger and learned more about what He wanted and how to listen to Him. Well, then he came back, and we had some time together and had another baby and then moved when she was 6 weeks old back to the States. I don't know why God felt the need to put together moves with babies, but we always did it. So we had a baby. We moved back, and we went to Oregon. He went to grad school for 18 months there, and that was a hard time for me because that was actually civilian time. Here's a lesson for you civilians. Oh. Civilians tend to be very comfortable in their lives. You've had the same friends for the last 20 years. You've gone to the same church. And when someone new moves in, you don't necessarily feel the need to reach out to them because you're content. And you might be missing somebody, or somebody might be needing you, and you need to reach out. And I'm having to do that now. I have neighbors that are going to be moving out soon, and it's going to be my job when someone moves in to step out of my little happy comfort zone, and believe me, I like it, and reach out and make friends to them and bring them. Maybe they'll need to hear some of the message as well. So anyway, it was a lonely time, but it was also a time of a little bit of rebellion. And so I had one of my worst, I wouldn't say worst marital moments, but it wasn't a fun one. It was one of those where I learned that I needed to be content with such things as you have. Because it was rainy a lot in Oregon and dark, and I started getting depressed, and I made friends with someone who had a much nicer home. Big, open, airy, sunny home, and my home was little and dark. And you know what? I helped pick out that house. It was what we could afford. We had prayed about it. We moved into it, and I was content with it until I started playing with my friend who wasn't showing off her big, beautiful home or anything. So one day I came home, and I lit into my husband about how he was not providing for our needs. Not very sweet, not kind. And I did it in writing because he wasn't home yet, so I wrote down all the things that we needed. Yeah, none of you have ever been yucky, right? I'm alone in this. But God slammed me pretty hard with that one, too, and reminded me that he gave us that home. And it was that point that my husband and I, you know, I had to come back to him and apologize and ask for his forgiveness and tear up my paper and be content where we were and realize God had given us what we needed for the time we were there. And it was at that time that in our marriage we decided my husband would pick out the rest of our homes for the rest of our career, and I would make it a home. And I would love it. So I learned to step out in faith there, but also I learned a lesson of being content. Like I just said, be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's Hebrews 13:5. It's a great parenting verse for your children too. We got to remember that we don't always have what we think we want or we need. But if we look at what God has given us, the blessings he has given us, and praise him, just as she has said in the book, praise him for what we have, we will learn to be content with what we have and be happy in the place we're at. So we moved out to West Point, a wonderful family time. I got pregnant when we got there with number 3. Had her there, was pregnant when I left with number 4. We had a wonderful family time, but it was also a beautiful time for growing in Christ again. We were together the whole time. He wasn't off deploying. But we learned during that time, because he was teaching cadets about God, and I was teaching women in different groups about God, we learned that we were not to be dependent on one another to meet our needs. That was the time I grew the most about realizing my husband's job, that started with that house in Oregon too, his job was not to meet my needs. That's God's job. Every need is met by God and Christ and the Holy Spirit living in you. So that husband of yours is just icing on the cake. And you can be his icing on the cake, and it takes all the pressure off. It's no longer your job to make him happy, and it's no longer his job to make you happy and to make you content. I used to tease him, though. When he wasn't making me content, I told him I was going to go tattle and I'd go pray. Because sometimes God does meet your needs through your spouse or through your friends. He uses different means, but it's always God. So anytime you're starting to feel yourself discontent in a relationship, friendship, marriage, relationships. Anytime you start to feel like that person is not filling you up, not giving you what you need to realize that's God calling you to turn your head from that person back on him. He wants to meet that need. And he will do it every single time. We moved from there to Kansas, had that fourth baby. We only stayed there 7 months, I think. Just enough time to have the baby, move again to Fort Hood, Texas. Now, the Iraq war had already started at this point. We knew what going to Fort Hood meant. It meant he would deploy to Iraq. But God had been teaching me and him over the years that when we were separated, he could work more in our lives oftentimes. We weren't so distracted, and so we could grow. And so rather than being fearful for him, of course I was fearful. I wanted him to be protected. I wanted him to be safe. But there was finally a part of me that could be excited. I could be excited that he was going to do that because I knew that during that time, God was going to grow me. During that time, I was a praise and worship leader for our women's group, for the military women's group there on post. And so I remember I stood up in front of that group and I said that very thing. I said, I'm so excited about what God is going to do in both our lives and how much he's going to grow us and strengthen us. And I trust him for that. That was the last one of our semester. It was just kind of like this. We went off for Christmas break. My husband deployed the day after Thanksgiving. His family came and we had a nice Thanksgiving together. And the next morning, we took him in. And he was gone. It was a holiday time and I was getting ready to go back and visit my family in Washington State for Christmas. So I was able to keep busy and not think too much about it. We didn't have a lot of communication. And so I flew back to Washington State, visited family. My grandmother gave me a book by Billy Graham, which I read on the plane home. And I found a quote in there that I thought would be great for me to bring back to my women's group. And the quote from Billy Graham was, "War does not increase the death rate. One out of every one person will die. It's the ultimate statistic." Right? I'm glad you laugh. I thought it was a little funny too, you know? It's not increasing the death rate. In other words, we don't have to live in fear of what's going on. Yes, there's war happening, but God's in charge of that. And that's not increasing the rate of death in this world because we're all going to die, and we need to recognize that. We need to live urgently and remember that, yeah, they're over there, and we could worry about them, but maybe we should be worrying about us too. Maybe we should remember that God wants us to do things here now. He wants us to live urgently for him. We don't know when our time is. He hasn't told us. So I had that in my hands, ready to share. I got back home, and we got right back into our routine. The next day, I still had suitcases in my hallway. Next couple days, the kids were right back into school, and I jumped right back into the women's group, started up our praise team rehearsals. And one day I did praise team rehearsal all morning, and then went and I was teaching a Bible study as well, so I went to a teacher training meeting all afternoon, and I was exhausted. And I went and picked up my oldest daughter, and I had my son, my baby, and got home, went and put the baby to bed. I laugh when I'm nervous or upset, so forgive me for that. I received the knock on the door. The one that no army wife wants. And I opened the door, and I knew the uniform protocol. We were told which uniform meant injury and which uniform meant... I had Kleenex somewhere. Meant they weren't coming home. And so we were notified, and eventually we gathered in the rest of the family. They were dispersed throughout the community. Thank you. And that was a point. Y'all might need some too. But even at that point, even at the moment they were telling me that my husband would not be coming home, and I don't know that I mentioned it, but we were growing in Christ separately, but our marriage was growing stronger and stronger because of that. And we were at a point in our marriage where I had no complaints. None. I can only assume he didn't have any. He didn't give me any. We were at that beautiful spot where everything was going well. We weren't fighting. We weren't arguing. We were communicating. We had been growing. And it was just a wonderful thing. And so I guess at that point is when I'm really going to bring us back to the book, too. Because you see, what God was showing me was to praise Him for His creation. And He showed me to praise Him for who He is, being in charge of my life. And to praise Him because He was meeting all my needs. But now we come to the real practical application, don't we? Did I trust Him with this? Could I praise Him when He allowed this to happen? What would happen to my relationship with my God, whom I loved and who loved me, when He allowed the next most important thing to me in my life to go away like that? I know some of you have experienced that out there. I've heard some of you talk about it. Not long after that, I went in my room and I prayed. And I prayed the truth. God, I don't know why, but I know who You are. I know that You've had me memorize Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's why we memorize verses. Sometimes it's so we can share with others and we need them to come to us. Sometimes it's just because we need them when we need them and God wants to speak to our heart with His word. And if you haven't, during the good times, been filling your heart with His word, it's going to be a little harder for Him to speak to you when you need to hear it. I chose to trust Him, to cling to Him, and at that moment to begin praising Him for who He is once again. To know that He is sovereign, and yes, He allowed it to happen, but I was going to trust Him with me, with my children, and with our future. And that is what I've done. And ladies, He has blessed us over and over and over again. And the book would be much thicker than this if I had to write it about what God has been doing, what He did before that. There was a point before I got the news about my husband. It was one of the last emails I sent to him. And this also helped me. I'd had a day, a good day. This was right before I went on vacation. I had gotten up that morning and I was going to go. What happened? I knew I had gotten a prize at the mall, didn't know what it was. I had won a door prize. So I was digging for my door prize ticket. I found a check that I'd forgotten about for a couple $100. It's not like we could afford to forget about that. But for some reason I had. So I found this check. Then I found the ticket. I took it down to the mall and I had won a digital camera, printing dock, the whole nine yards. I had just a huge, wonderful gift. Got home all excited and pumped about that. Someone had left a package on my front step. I had another present there. So I, took it in and I honestly can't remember what it was. But it was a package. It was a gift. And then I got ready because I was going to lunch with Max Lucado on post. He was coming to speak and he was going to eat lunch with the people that were working with the Bible study group, the women's group there. So that was exciting to me. And I got there and some friends had given me a pampering gift when I got there because they knew my husband was deployed. They'd given several people them. But I got another gift when I was there. Then I enjoyed the day with Max and listened to him speak. Went home and there was a bouquet of flowers on my front porch. The whole day kept going like that. I was finding things. People were giving me things. And I emailed my husband. I said, what is coming that God wants me to know? He loves me this much. Because it was just bounty after bounty. I said, it's wonderful, but I wonder what's coming. That instantly came back to me when I got the news about my husband. And it was such a comfort to remember, yes, He loves me. And He's still going to bless me and comfort me and be there for me and provide for my needs. Which He's done. We don't have to worry about finances. I know I'm fortunate in that. I've talked with many others that do worry. I have no worries. My children are healthy. They're doing well in school. They're content. They miss Daddy. I miss him. But we're able to live. We're not, what's the word, like this. We're moving, we're living, they're growing. They're continuing to love. They're not damaged goods. We're blessed because, and I'm pointing, this is my mother-in-law, Nancy. It's her son I'm talking about, and I know it's hard for her to hear. But I sat in the group of, we're Gold Star is what it's called, the people who've lost somebody in the military. They're called Gold Star. It's an award you get, which I get a little sarcastic about getting an award. But anyway, I was in the Gold Star group, and we were talking, and I listened to other in-laws and siblings and other women who had lost their husbands. And there aren't very many in-laws, and, well, I guess it is in-laws. I'm an in-law, too. I don't ever look at it that way. Daughter-in-laws and parent-in-laws. There's not a lot of them that get along, that can truly say they love one another, that even try to work together. Some of them, the daughter-in-law wasn't letting the in-laws see the grandkids. Took them away. Some of them just couldn't communicate with one another. I had the blessing of in-laws that we'd already established a relationship. We'd known who each other was, and we liked each other. So even there, God was providing. And that is why we've moved here. I prayed for 10 months to figure out where I was going. And maybe now that you've heard a bit of my story, you'll understand a little bit. God has never, ever given me much preparation or much understanding of what's going to happen next in my life. I don't know how you all have done it with him, but it's always, I'm walking along this way, and he says, oh, no, you're going that way. You know, I thought I was going to college. I was getting a degree in theater and directing. I was going to go off with friends, and I was going to start that career. And then God said, no, you're going to marry him and travel around where I tell you. And I spent the last 13 years doing that. And just suddenly, oh, you're going to have a baby now. Now you're going this way. Always up in the air. So all of a sudden, everything was on me, and I had to figure out where I was going to go. So I prayed and prayed and prayed. Had no idea I would end up in Colorado. And people still ask me, how did you decide to come here? And I'm going to tell you all the honest truth. I have no idea. None. As I was telling my good friends in Texas, I said, I'm just expecting a camel to show up in the front yard, and I'm going to get on, and we'll go where it goes. It's kind of like Abraham, you know? Because that's the way I expect God to work in my life. I expect him to tell me what's going to happen next. I've given up, or at least for the most part, I admit not every day, but I've given up trying to figure out what's going to happen next. Because God's surprises are always so much better. So we moved here to Colorado Springs, and my in-laws sold their house in Virginia, and they moved out here as well. As a matter of fact, I came out here, picked my home, went back to my home in Texas. Before I had closed on the home here, they'd sold their house, bought a house here, and moved in. Think God was helping them a little, maybe? Because that was another blessing. Here they were established here before I even got here with my kids to begin trying to settle in. And I'm not even all the way unpacked yet. They are. They were in 3 days, right? 3 days? I'm telling the story not because of anything I've done, and I hope that is very noticeable. I'm telling you all what God has done, what God is doing. Another blessing I had, and it has more to do with our study. For years, God did not let me sing in public. I knew, without a doubt, I'd started out when Bill and I were first married at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, singing in the choir and doing things, and I was very convicted that I wasn't singing for him. I was singing because I liked to sing. So over the years, he said, if you want to sing for me, sing to me by yourself. And I did that. So when we finally got to Fort Hood, I finally felt like God had said I could sing for him in public now. And you know how these women's groups are. Immediately, I was signed up to lead the praise and worship there at Fort Hood, Texas. And it was a group of about 250 women, and I was leading them. So when this happened, when I got the news of my husband, I was the praise and worship leader there. I could have quit, obviously. They would have let me. Oh, here's another blessing. That group, I did not cook another meal for 6 months. They brought us dinner every day until I finally said, okay, how about just one or two meals a week? And then, you know, started to wean myself off my friends and my women's loving group. But God even provided that way. But he provided by allowing me to lead the praise and worship, because rather than stopping, I was just preparing to teach Experiencing God. And one of the things that's taught in that Bible study is when God has given you a job to do, you continue doing it until he gives you a new job. So I knew God wanted me to continue doing the job I was doing. So I continued to teach that Bible study, which was one I needed to hear. And I continued to lead praise and worship, which was more of a blessing to me than anyone else. Because at least once a week, I was standing in front of a group of women, praising my God and declaring who he is to them and with them, and being filled. One thing grief can do, one of the reactions is I couldn't read. I could read words, but I could not comprehend them for about a year. So I couldn't read scripture. It didn't make sense. The only scripture that spoke to me was the memorized scripture, like I told you. That's what this is, by the way, is my little flip chart, so that when I'm sitting at a stoplight, I can annoy the people around me by memorizing scripture and not noticing the light change. I try to be better than that, but... because I know I need to be filled with that. But the other thing is listening to praise music. Whatever style you prefer, whether you like hymns, whether you like to listen to K-Lev on the radio or some of the local stations, or have your own music. Because when times hit, sometimes that's the only way God can speak to you as well. And he spoke through music to me all the time. And I was actually amazed by how much music out there, Christian music, is about our pain and our sorrow and his blessing during that time. The song Held had just come out, and now I got to remember lyrics. I actually had prepared some PowerPoints, but God decided I didn't need them, so they were destroyed yesterday. but the song Held talks about how when God allows bad things to happen in our life, he's just holding you. This is what it means to be loved and to be held. That's the main part of the chorus. How it feels, and to know that when everything fails, you'll be held. Another one was, he will carry me. That was another song that I sang a lot. And mind you, I mean, I drove my little car and parked it in the parking lot and hoped nobody noticed this weird woman singing at the top of her lungs in her car. Praise You in the Storm was one that I sang. And I'm just giving you the titles because I think they say a lot, do they not? They pretty much give you the theme of the songs, even if you don't know them. And then one of my favorite theme songs now is Blessed Be Your Name. And it starts with, Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in a desert place. When I walk through a wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back in praise. And when the darkness closes in, still I'm going to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. It was an important message. It is an important message. No matter what is happening, he wants us to praise him. And it's for him. He enjoys it. It's a fragrant offering, but it's for us. It's for us because it fills us with hope. It reminds us. And it feeds his Holy Spirit, which is dwelling in us. That Holy Spirit is God in us. And if it's delighting, what's it bringing us? It's bringing him joy. It's filling us with joy. It wasn't long after my husband was killed that I had to come to a... How am I doing on time? I'm not even watching it. I'm good. Okay. I had to come to a decision there too, because as a Christian, you know you're being watched. How is your reaction to this situation? Are you going to just try to be honest and let God control how you react? Or are you going to try to be something you're not for the non-Christians who are watching you, because you want them to think you're happy all the time, everything's fine? Or for the Christians who are watching you, are you still going to cling? But when you realize that you can't care what anybody else is thinking. I was so torn between the grief of losing the love of my life and the joy of having the love of my life. I still had joy. I had tremendous joy. And sometimes it filled to overflowing and I could feel good and I could smile and I was feeling guilty for that. Sometimes that still happens to me where I feel like, oh, that's right. I'm supposed to be going like this. Oh, my life is horrible. But the truth is it's not. God has not allowed it to be. I have bad days. You don't know how many loads of laundry I have sitting at my house right now because people keep wetting the bed. I have tough times. But that's not what it's important. That's not the bottom line for me. And it's not the bottom line what you're thinking of what I'm doing. As long as I know I'm doing what God wants me to do, that's what's important. And you can be filled with the joy that comes. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit a little bit. We talked about the indwelling of the Spirit way back at the beginning. And so I want to remind you what the fruit of the Spirit is, which comes from Galatians 5, verse 23 and 22. The fruit of the Spirit. And if you are a Christian and you've asked Christ to come in you, that's the Holy Spirit living in you, then you have the fruit, not fruits, fruit. That means these are the attributes of the Holy Spirit living in you. You have love. That means the ability to love yourself, the ability to love God, the ability to love those around you, and definitely the ability to love those who you don't feel like loving. And when you don't feel like loving. Love, joy. Like I just said, the joy that fills up, that has no earthly reason for being there. It's inexplicable, and people look at you and wonder, how could you possibly be glowing like that? You have peace. You know God's in charge. You know He's in control. And He can calm your heart when you're worried. You have patience. And I was so thankful that I did the Beth Moore study on fruits of the Spirit because I learned that patience isn't the thing I didn't think I had, which is when my children are driving me crazy or my friends are making me nuts. Patience is a godly patience. It's the patience He has with us that we can extend to others. Then they stop driving you crazy because you realize you don't need to judge them, that God's waiting for them, that it's not your job to change those people. One of the things, one of the messages God gave me that goes along with the patience that I think is important for everyone. There was a day, and mind you, when you're in grief or when you're going through anxiety, God knows it. Don't hide it. Don't feel like He's God and you can't talk to Him or tell Him the truth. So I'm kind of cheeky. Let's start with that. So I was in the car driving on my way to the women's group. And I was being cheeky. I said, you know what, Lord? I know that You came and You suffered everything we're going to suffer. And You went through all the temptations and the trials. And I know that You lost Your Son. And You were separated from Him completely. And that tore your heart. And it agonized you. But Lord, that was 3 days. 3 days. I could do 3 days. I have an entire lifetime ahead of me without this man You gave me that I'll be grieving. How does that measure up? And I tell you, I don't always get word that quick from God, but I did this time. He said, yes, I grieved my Son, but I grieve each one of you on this earth the same way I grieved His loss. I grieve that separation, and I have been waiting since the earth was created, since the sin was happened in Eden. I have been waiting for each of you to turn to me, and there will be some that won't. He's grieving the loss of being separated from each one of us, and that's why He looks so forward to the time we can be with Him in heaven and join Him. So I guess He wins. He's waiting a lot longer. That's godly patience. He's waiting for us to turn to Him, listen to Him, walk with Him, live with Him, and one day be with Him. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. The ability to reach out when you don't feel like it. Does that come from you? No. Gentleness? I'm so glad, too, that I learned gentleness doesn't mean gentleness because I'm kind of klutzy. Doesn't mean, like, I can't slam my book down on occasion because I do that. Gentleness means being willing to be tamed by God, allowing Him to be the leader and to walk with Him quietly, not fighting and pulling. And like a horse that needs to be broken in, I want to be like that horse. I want to be able to just know when God goes, I'll just turn and follow Him and not fight Him. That's, you guys bring me the word because I just lost it. Gentleness. And then we have faithfulness, and I talked about that. That faith doesn't come from us. God teaches us that faith. He gives us that faith. He gives us the ability to cling to Him because He's in us. I'm always forgetting one right before self-control. Goodness. Goodness. He gives us goodness. We're sinners. We're not good. But because of Him in us, He sees us as good. And self-control, I think, is what we're working on for the rest of my life. That's what God and I are struggling with all the time. Self-control of my mouth. Self-control of what I eat. Self-control of what I do, say, am. Because He wants us to have a little responsibility for what we do, too. He fills us with all of that. He's in us. We have the ability for all of that. So that when He looks at us, He sees Himself, a reflection of Himself. And the more of that Spirit we allow in us, the more He sees of Him, and the more we glorify Him, and the more others see Him in us. And that's when we come back to our book, The Praise. Praising Him when it's good. Praising Him when everything's great and wonderful. Praising Him when we're bored, because that keeps us focused. We get bored when everything's good, don't we? Thinking, oh, Lord, everything's nice. That's when He gets to shake things up a bit for us. And then praising Him during the hard time, because He said we're going to have them. And we're going to have them so that when we've walked through it with Him, we can comfort others. We just talked about that last week. It's from 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4. This was the scripture God gave to me on the plane on the way to my husband's funeral. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're starting out with praise. And if you look at Paul's letters, he always does. Always starts with praising. The Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. It all comes from Him. Who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. There's many reasons He allows us to have trials. That's just one of them. But I feel that's my calling, is to take what God has given me and to continue to give that to those around me. I didn't have much compassion for people with loss because I didn't understand it. I had no understanding of what it meant to lose somebody or to lose something close to you. Now I do, and now I can bring the Word of God to people who need that and know what's helpful and what's not to some degree. He also allows us to go through trials so we can come closer to Him. And this is what I'm going to close with. It was another speaker who gave me this insight that I hadn't had before. And it was, the angels know God really well. They're really close to Him. They're holy. But we need to remember the Bible says that they look on us and wonder. And they kind of desire a little bit of what we have. Because as we go through sufferings, we see aspects of God. We get to know God in ways they will never see. They don't know God, the Comforter, because they've never needed comfort. They don't know God, the Healer, because they've never needed healing. They don't know all those aspects of God, of what He can do, the Merciful, the God of all grace. They've never needed those things. We need those things. And because of those things, and because of our hardships and our walk, remember God said He works all things for good for those who love Him? And for, there's some other point that's very important there. And are called according to His purpose. So yeah, sin came into the world, but look at all the good God has brought from that. He's drawing us closer to Him than we ever could have been. I want you to remember that. I want you to take that. I want you to take your stories. I want you to look back. Write it in your journals. Pay attention to what God has done, what He is doing, what He continues to do. Because it is your job to take what you're learning and reach out to others with it. And to share with them and to bring them to Him. Don't let them despair. And don't let them go so long without knowing Him and being drawn closer to Him and having God grieve the loss of them. That's my message today. So I hope it speaks to you. Amen.